Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. My guest for this morning is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amy and I will be having a conversation about how moms are always available when we need them, and we, of course, never stop needing them. And the stories will be coming from their latest book, the special edition Mother's Day book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Magic of Moms, 101 Stories of Gratitude, Wisdom, and Miracles. Good morning, Amy. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on again. I'm really excited about talking about this book, what with Mother's Day coming up in just a couple of weeks.
I know. It's what happens here is that because of all the things that's going on nationally and internationally, we're really not feeling it, you know? And I'm really excited the fact that we have a chance to talk about it this morning, to talk about and celebrate about Mother's Day and kind of leading people to say, hey, there's still life going on. And I have to tell you this, the book that you guys have, The Magic of Moms, is a terrific, delightful, and heartwarming read. So congratulations on this release. I'm really excited. A lot of the stories, I really resonate with the various stories in the book. And so I'm really excited to talk about celebrating moms in our lives during this hour.
You know, when we make a book, we send it to the printer months before it appears mm-hmm. on store shelves. And so I've already edited a few additional books since this one went to the printer. So talking to you about it today, I went and took the book off my bookshelf. And now I'm looking at it. And it's funny. It's after a few months of not looking at the cover, I'm seeing it fresh like I'm a consumer. It's so pretty. Oh my gosh,
right.
I'm just looking at it, and it has this wonderful depth to it because we embossed mm-hmm. the title, and it's this gorgeous garden, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, I would have loved to give this to my mother, but my mother passed away 3 years ago, but she would have loved this. And I mean, most people aren't going to get to see their mothers on Mother's mm-hmm. Day, but obviously, this is very commercial of me to say this, but sending your mom a book, it's like it's something you can achieve. You know, you can just go online and have a book shipped to her. And it's like twice as much as buying a greeting card and putting a postage stamp on it, right? So for twice as much, she gets a book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I'm just looking at it fresh, and I'm really loving it. I'm kind of falling in love with my own product again because I haven't looked at it for months.
Well, I have to tell you this, though. In the end, even though, you know, situations make things come forward, right? And believe it or not, I think doing what we're going through right now, moms actually are in the front line in the sense that for the family, that is, because moms tend to be a little bit more conscious about safety and everything else. Moms are the ones that are checking on their kids to make sure they're okay, because we kids tend to feel like, hey, I'm Superman. I don't have to worry about it. Nothing is going to stick to me. And you know that, you know, it's a big difference. And so the timing of the book to me is wonderful. And the beautiful picture in front of it sort of leads into spring. And so even though the attitude of the country is a little bit sort of control chaos right now, but in the end, like you say, getting a book like this really warms up the heart.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have a cover this year with like a grandmother and a mother and a granddaughter together, because that's not happening. So I'm glad
right.
our cover just shows a beautiful garden. And you can imagine mom by herself standing in this
yeah.
garden because she's not leaving her home. You know,
right.
so, yeah, it turned out to be very, very appropriate. And I really like the concept of the magic of moms. It
yeah.
came about because my kids, now that they are in their early 30s,
mm-hmm.
they actually appreciate me. And so they're always saying things like, do that. You know, like I'll say something and they'll be like, how did you know that? And I'll say, well, because I figured that because of X and Y, then Z must be true. And they said, but how did you know that? And I'm like, it's obvious. And so that made me realize they think that, you know, moms have a certain magic to them because we just seem to know things.
That's true. That's so true. Let's talk about the book. I mean, you mentioned about the beautiful book and so forth. How about the chapter lead picture? I thought that was very beautiful that y'all used that picture.
Oh, yeah. So inside the book, we do have a mom and daughter together. It could even be a grandmother and a granddaughter. It's like whatever you want it to be. Yeah, it's really pretty. And it just shows that bond between a mother or grandmother and, you know, her descendants. Yeah, I think it just conveys exactly what we're trying to say in this book. Yeah, I'm really pleased with it. It's really terrific. What we did was we went and we found the best stories in our library that we think illustrated this theme of the magic of moms. We didn't go and take stories from our past Mother's Day books because we didn't want somebody who gives a mother, you know, a book every single year to mom or grandmother. We didn't want her to see stories she had already seen. So we went and we got great stories about the magic of moms that had appeared in other kinds of titles, you know, like Christmas books or dog books or miracle books, but not specific books about moms. And so I think it's a great compilation of our best mom stories from the past, say, you know, 12 years or so.
Very interesting. This is the first book, if I recall, over the years that I've done this show with you, that you only have 8 chapters. Usually it's a lot longer than that.
What I come up with, you know, I let the stories tell me what the chapters should be. These books very much are a reflection of what society is thinking right now. And so we never go into a book with any preconceived notions. We just go in and we see what we get. And then I put the chapters together based on what I get. So sometimes there's 8 chapters, sometimes there's 12 chapters, you know, we're usually aiming for 10, but just depends on what the stories tell me to do. You know, it's very much a reaction to what we get, which is much better than trying to cram stories into pre-made chapter ideas. That doesn't lead to as good a book.
Right. That's true. So what are the topics that are covered in the book?
So these are the topics that really seem to capture best what our writers think of their mothers or grandmothers. And so the first chapter is called There's No One Stronger. And boy, do we have stories in there about moms being incredibly strong, you know, such great role models for their families. And then the second chapter is called Mom Knows Best, because she does. Just accept it. She does. And then the third chapter is about moms doing all these really creative, unusual, outside-the-box things. And that chap, only she would think of this. And then the fourth chapter is called Always There for Us, because isn't that the case? Even if mom is deathly ill, she's taking care of everybody else in the family. Yep. And chapter 5 is called Grandmoms, because it has stories about grandmothers and great-grandmothers. And then chapter 6 is about honorary moms, because there's so many people who serve the mom function in our lives. They can be mothers-in-law, the neighbor down the street who, you know, acts like a second mom. Whoever it is, we wanted to honor those honorary moms as well. And then chapter 7 is about just the creativity of moms, whether it's arts and crafts or cooking with whatever ingredients are around. And it's called Mom Can Make Anything. And then chapter 8 is called Wise Words. And those are just those life-changing bits of wisdom that you hear from mom. And maybe you heard it from mom when you were 14 and you rolled your eyes. But then when you're 25, you start living by that, you know, that bit of wisdom. So we shared some really great wise words that I just think are terrific advice for people to have, you know. And so I was like, wow, this was a great piece of advice for me. So I would like to share it with everybody else.
So true. How has editing the various stories impacted you personally as a mother?
Well, I guess there were a few results. One was that when you read these stories, it really makes it clear that kids do eventually appreciate their moms, even if they don't express that,
mm-hmm.
you know, right when mom is in the trenches raising them.
Mm-hmm.
It also makes it clear how much kids are influenced by their mothers and end up, you know, doing what their mothers modeled, you know, later in life. So
right.
that's really, really important. And then the third thing is that even when your kids are grown, they still need you. And that's another big point that's made in this book. And then I guess the final fourth item would be how important grandmothers are as well. And this book is filled with appreciation for grandmothers. And so it's a great book for grandmothers to read also. Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Magic of Moms is just as much for grandmothers as it is for moms.
That's true. But hey, by the way, it's not on the checklist in terms of like what grandmothers are for. Babysitting, not true.
I don't know. I volunteer. I mean, I would love to babysit right now. And I was supposed mm-hmm. to be. And now because of coronavirus, you know, I can't go
right.
and see my two grandchildren. And I actually had the weekend I was supposed to have babysitting for my new grandson, who's only 5
yeah.
years old. I was supposed to babysit for him a couple of weekends ago, and of course that didn't happen. But yeah, I was really looking forward to that. So, but it mm-hmm. will happen eventually.
Wonderful. Please tell us about the fundraising aspect of this book.
So we actually wanted to use this book to raise money for charities. But the way it works legally with charities is that
mm-hmm.
if you want to like put on the book, you know, this book is raising money for such and such charity.
Right.
You have to have a contract with that charity and everything. And sometimes when we've wanted to give money to a specific charity, we haven't been able to because of this whole contract process. So we've
mm-hmm.
decided, you know what, this time we're going to give money to charities and we're not going to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
the book cover. So it doesn't say anything on the book cover about how this book
right.
Is that royalties from this book are going to support charities. So we did something really fun. We went to the contributors whose stories are in this book and we had them vote. And so
mm-hmm.
we sent them, we worked really hard. We went on Charity Navigator and we found, you know, the 5-star rated or 4-star, whatever the highest number of stars is
mm-hmm.
rated charities.
Mm-hmm.
And we found all these charities that really help keep the magic of moms going by
mm-hmm.
helping with bull or supporting mothers in other ways or helping to support pets if they're
mm-hmm.
given up to shelters. And we ended up sending out a list of charities to the people who wrote the stories in this book, and we had them vote for their top 4. And we had some very clear winners,
mm-hmm.
and we can't legally tell anybody who they are. But those charities will all be getting unexpected surprise checks from us. And so we're very excited about that. And all I can tell you is that one of the charities is very strong in
mm-hmm.
animal welfare. One
mm-hmm.
of the charities is very strong in feeding Americans, which is even
mm-hmm.
more important these days with all the
right.
food insecurity and people having lost their jobs, et cetera. And then the other two winning charities are very much about supporting mothers in need and helping
mm-hmm.
them provide properly for their children.
Wonderful. That's terrific. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading The Magic of Moms?
I guess the main thing is that the readers who I expect to be mothers and grandmothers will come away knowing that it was all worth it and that
mm-hmm.
all of their efforts truly were appreciated and made a big difference.
That's wonderful. By the way, I know, I don't think we've talked about this before, but you know, these days, plenty of books are printed overseas. Are all Chicken Soup books printed here in America?
Yes, and they always have been. We print 100% in the USA. The paper comes from the USA. Everything is done in the United States. We use union printing shops.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're really proud of the fact that we print in the U.S. and we support, you know, proper wages for the people who manufacture our books for us. So, yeah, always proudly made 100% in the USA. And also, we print on recycled paper. And our print shops that we use recycle every scrap of paper that's created there. They're green shops. So, yeah, we've made sure that we can be very proud of the way that we create these books.
Fantastic. That's really wonderful. You're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on Apple's iTunes, Stitches Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, and Google Play. I'm Johnny Tan, your host, and my guest for this morning is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chickens for the Soul. We're having a conversation about heartfelt stories of how moms are always available when we need them, and we never stop needing them, from their Mother's Day special edition, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Magic of Moms, 101 Stories of Gratitude, Wisdom, and Miracles. Amy, let's talk about some of the stories. Chapter 1, There's no one stronger. The Other Bus Story by Cynthia Gray. I love this story.
Yeah, so Cynthia Gary's mom raised Cynthia knowing this story. So when her mom was a little girl in the early 1950s in a small South Carolina town, that was an area that practiced segregation, unfortunately, and required African Americans to sit in the back of the bus. And one day, Cynthia's mom refused to sit at the back of the bus. She got on, and there was in the very front of the bus beside a white woman, and the little girl sat there, and the white woman said, "Oh, it's totally fine," because her mother was freaking out, saying, like, "Oh, no, you know, you've got to come, and we have to go sit in the back." And the white woman said, "No, sit here. You'll have a much better view." And then all the other passengers around them said, "Of course, sit there, sit there." And Cynthia always kept that in her mind as an example of the fact that even though there was this terrible history of segregation where her mom grew up, that when you got down to the individual level of the people, these people were not in favor of it. And so her mom helped Cynthia and her siblings to feel better about the rest of Americans and the fact that not everybody was aligned against them, you know, back when her mom was a little girl.
It's a beautiful story, and it's a story about humanity. And believe it or not, we're in the same cycle right now in many different ways, so to speak.
Yeah, when you see like crazy people taking action against Muslims in their communities, and then you see a news story about a bunch of people in that community who banded together and, you know, did all their shopping at that Muslim's restaurant or whatever it is. Yeah,
right.
You definitely see the same kind of thing happening now.
So true. Well, the next story in this chapter, There's No One Stronger, is Granny's on the News by Christy Adams. This is a wonderful story, I think.
Yeah, this was so funny. I mean, we get a lot of stories about these eccentric, spunky grandmothers. And so in the case of Christy's grandmother, her grandmother had made a sandwich run from her office, and she was now, you know, on her way back to work. And this would-be carjacker shows up by her window because she had her window rolled down. And he says, you know, "Get out of your car. I have a gun." And the grandmother looks over at him and says, "You don't have a gun. If you had a gun, you would already have shown it to me." And so, the grandmother ended up, you know, putting up a huge fight against the carjacker because she knew that he wouldn't actually have a gun. And then she performed a citizen's arrest basically on him. So it was very, very cute. It was a great story.
Hey, that's a spicy grandma now. Don't mess with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Chapter 2, Mom Knows Best. And I love this story. I tell you what, I can relate to it. The Matchmaker by Lisa LaShaw.
So Lisa could not believe what her mother told her on the phone. Her mom said, "So I gave him your number and he'll probably call you on Sunday evening." Her mom had set her up with some random guy, and her mom had said, "Oh, you'll love him. He's delicious." But Lisa was only 21. She didn't want to be set up with any guy. She didn't have a boyfriend right then, and she was fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, her mom prevailed, because even though the guy didn't end up calling Lisa because he didn't want to be set up either, Lisa's mom ran into this handsome young man again a little while later, and this time forced him to call Lisa. And sure enough, he was absolutely delicious. And Lisa had gone to the blind date wearing like baggy clothing and ugly makeup and a weird hairstyle because she didn't want the guy to like her because she was sure he was a loser. And then when he walked in, she was like, "Oh, shoot." And she bolted to the ladies' room and she redid her hair and she took off the ugly makeup and she tried to make herself look better. And anyway, because mom is always right, Lisa and her husband have now been married for more than 3 decades.
Isn't that fantastic? That's really wonderful. I resonate with this story because when I was, of course, this was right after I started working, bought my first house and so forth. I had sent a letter home, and my sister misread to my mom, because the thing I was expressing was, well, now I got a house, a new car, a wonderful job. The only thing to complete the picture is a wife. And somehow, somewhere, my sister, the dingbag, I'm just kidding, she read to my mom that I wanted her to find me a wife. And
oh.
So, you know, it's like, within 2 weeks now, I just felt this uncomfortability. And I said, well, let me just call home and just kind of check and see how things are. And lo and behold, of course, my sister answered the phone and said, "Hey, mom is so happy and excited." Really? What's going on? "Well, you told her that you want her to find you a wife." And I said, "No, I did not." And I said, "You please read that letter again." And she read. She said, "Yeah, you're right." And she said, "Well, you better tell mom that." "What do you mean by I tell mom that? You're the one who pushed back the letter, right?" He said, "No, I'm not going to do this. You need to tell her." So I ended up telling my mom. And before I told my mom, my sister told me, she said, "You know, guess what? I think she found someone." I said, "You're kidding me. Like in 2 weeks? This is crazy." And so I did tell my mom, and she said, "That's okay. You know, I know you guys, you're young and you want to take care of yourself and all this and so forth. That's okay. No problem at all." And I did ask her. I said, "Well, I heard that you found someone for me." And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Can I know who it is?" She said, "No, it's all the way. The package is all the way in or all the way out." No, in between. So I ended up not knowing who it was, who she was.
You might have missed out on the best woman ever.
I know. No
kidding. Because moms are always right.
No kidding. So what's your favorite story in this chapter?
Well, I mean, they're all my favorites, but there's another one I really like for the message, because this one is about a mom helping her young daughter, who was only in fifth grade, deal with a girl who was bullying her. And so this is by Courtney Conover. And when she was in fifth grade, there was this new kid who came in, and this new girl towered over the other fifth graders, and she was always threatening to beat someone up, even the boys. So she started threatening Courtney, because Courtney had like a long braid, and she started threatening that she was going to cut her braid off. And Courtney's mom said, "You know what? She just thrives on making others scared. Don't be afraid of her. If she can see that you're not afraid, she'll stop. In fact, I bet she's like everybody else. She just wants to fit in and make friends, and she doesn't know how." Because, you know, you hear that all the time, that bullies are actually really lonely and insecure. And so Courtney actually invited the bully over to her house for a play date after school. And this girl smiled at her and said yes, and never bullied her again. And in fact, they became friends, because she really was just this very tall fifth grade girl who was very insecure and really didn't know how to interact with other people and make friends. So I thought that was a great lesson. And hey, even when you're an adult, you can get bullied. So it was
right.
a great lesson for adults who are getting bullied at work or wherever, or adults who still are raising children and want to pass on this advice to the children who they talk to.
That's a wonderful story. Truly wonderful. There's another story in this chapter I really like, and it's a beautiful story. The title of the story is From Attitude to Gratitude by Eva Carter.
Yeah, so Eva was sound asleep when her phone rang. It was really too early for somebody to be calling her, and the caller ID said unknown name, unknown number, so of course she didn't answer it, but mm-hmm. it made her wake up, you know, anyway. So she went downstairs to get some coffee, and then she found a note from her husband saying that the milk had gone bad, so she jumped in her car to just drive two blocks to 7-Eleven to get, and she didn't even put her seatbelt on, which we all know is a no-no, even if you're only going two blocks. So she got pulled over and got a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. So it wasn't a great start to the day. But anyway, then she gets home. She made her coffee. She grabbed a book to read outside in the backyard. And she was sitting under this beautiful Bradford pear tree that was covered in white flowers. And then she lay down on this bench that she was sitting on, and she dozed off because, you know, she had lost some sleep when that unknown caller had bothered her in the morning. And then the phone rang again. And Eva, in her kind of dozing sleep, heard her mother shout, "Answer the phone." And Eva ignored her. And then she heard the voice again, with her mother saying, "Eva, answer it." And then in her dream, Eva said, "Can't you pick it up, mother?" But then she woke up and realized, wait, my mother is dead. And then she went inside. And it was that unknown name, unknown number again, but this time mm-hmm. she answered it because her mother had told her to answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So she answered the phone and explained to the person at the other end that it was a wrong number. But, you know, they had a polite little conversation. And just as they were finishing their conversation, yard, and that beautiful Bradford pear tree that was covered in flowers had fallen over because it had rained the night before, and I guess the roots mm-hmm. had gotten loose, you know, in the wet ground.
Yeah.
It toppled over right onto the bench where Eva had been lying down just a minute before. And so she thinks, you know, she says, if my mother's voice hadn't come to me in that dream telling me to get up and go answer that phone, I would still have been there. And so her mother somehow protected her. And it happened to be the one-year anniversary of her mother's death when it happened.
It's truly amazing. Beautiful, beautiful story. The connection that people have from a spiritual standpoint of view, that's really amazing. Chapter 3, Only She Would Think of This. This is a wonderful title, and I love this story by Alicia Rosen. And this is a story that I could really connect with. A call a day keeps the loneliness at bay. I love this story.
Yeah, so Alicia saw her mom always doing for other people. And so she saw her mom knitting hats for preemies. She
mm-hmm.
saw her mom cooking chicken soup for neighbors when they were sick. And so she wasn't surprised when one evening her mother announced that she had a new project. She was going to telephone senior citizens every night. And Alicia was just a kid, so she was confused, like, why would these elderly people want to talk to someone they had never met? But anyway, that's what her mom did. Her mother called these senior citizens, asked them, you know, what did you have for dinner? What did you do today?
Mm-hmm.
Just discussed things like, oh, the daffodils are up in the park. And Alicia, who was 16, said to her mom, like, why do you even do this? And why is this interesting? And her mother said to her, I'm the only person that lady talked to today. And now it's 30 years later, and Alicia understands, because now her mother is almost 80. And sometimes Alicia is the only person her mom speaks to all day. Mm-hmm. And so Alicia realizes that her mother's calls were like lifelines. And Alicia says, I don't know how she did it because I can barely take care of my own household. And my mother took care of all of us and did this too. But what a great role model for how you can make the time to do for others as well.
So true. That story relate to me because when I first moved to the United States, it was 15 years later before I went home to Malaysia. And my mom and I didn't actually meet each other till 8 years later. I left when I was 18 years, 4 months old, landed in Baton Rouge. And then my dad died a year later. And then that sort of changed the trajectory of my life. And in the course of the ensuing years, my mom and I just talked over the phone. And of course, it got better and better in the sense that instead of just talking like every 2 months, I was getting into this routine. Every night when I got home, I started cooking. I enjoyed cooking for myself. So before you know it, my mom and I are starting to talk on the phone once a week. And there are times when I know what I was doing, but I still wanted to give my mom the opportunity to be a mom. So she'll walk me through a recipe and I can hear the excitement on the other side of the phone, halfway around the world. And it just gave me a tremendous amount of joy. And I knew at the same time, it gave her the tremendous amount of joy to be able to do that. And that actually how the title of my book, From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for the Living, ended up coming out of that. It gave birth to it, so to speak.
I did that even when my father was in the early stages of dementia and mm-hmm. he wasn't really going to be able to help me, I would call him up and ask him for help. I would ask him questions and
right.
then let him give me advice because it made him feel so good.
Right. It makes a big difference. Do you have a story in that chapter that that really pops out to you?
Yeah, it's another one about a mom being of service to people. It's so cool because it's written by this guy, John Doro, and he says that his mom would disappear every Christmas Eve for a few hours, and he never knew why. And it was only after her death that he learned where she had gone. It turned out that she had been going to another family every Christmas Eve dressed as Mrs. Claus and bringing them gifts that they really needed because it was a family that didn't have the money to provide their kids with Christmas gifts. And by Christmas gifts, I mean necessities too, like shoes and shirts and jeans. And it was only after his mother died that he got a letter from the father of that other family telling him what his mother had been doing on her secret missions every Christmas Eve.
Very, very interesting. That's a very touching story, but it's a wonderful motivational story, no doubt about it. Chapter 4, and this is very interesting, all is there for us, and we know that, you know that, and I know that, and I think your children are about to realize that right now as well. And the story that's really cool is Saved by the Look by Caroline McKinney. And for me, this is kind of interesting because of my mom, and I'll get into it a little bit later. But tell us about that story, The Look.
So, let's start with, does everybody know what The Look is? It's when your mom mm-hmm. looks at you with that expression that kind of conveys, are you kidding me? And you know I'm right, and why are you being an idiot? You know that look? And actually, the look that a lot of husbands know as well, you know,
yeah.
when they ask a question and then we give them the look. So moms give that look to their kids as well. And Caroline says her mom didn't use the look very often, but it was very effective mm-hmm. when she did. So anyway, one day Caroline was running late to an appointment, but she needed to get gas. So she stopped at the gas station. And there was only one other car there, so she knew she could leave her car at the pump and run in and buy a snack and run out, and she wouldn't be inconveniencing somebody if she didn't come out, you know, exactly when her tank was full. But then she heard her mother's voice saying, no, And it just startled her because it was so strong, into the car anyway to get her purse to go inside and buy a snack. And then she heard no again. And then in her mind's eye, she saw her mother's face giving her the look. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't disobey the look. So she dropped her purse back in the car and, you know, put the mm-hmm. nozzle back. And she was about to leave when she saw this man race out of the mini mart at the gas station and jump in his car and screech away. And then the cashier from the mini mart came staggering out of the door yelling, "Did you see him? Did you see that guy? He just pulled a gun on me and took all the money from the drawer." Well, if Caroline had been in that store, who knows what would have happened? Maybe the gunman would have hit her with the gun or shot her with mm-hmm. the gun. Mm-hmm. And so somehow her mother, even though she was gone, gave her the look and said no to her and stopped her from going in, just like Eva somehow heard from her mother and moved off that bench just before that tree fell on it.
Right, right. And reason I chose those stories is just that it's amazing because we miss our moms when they're gone, but yet they're still there. And these are things that I occasionally get into the situation where I can feel her presence in my life and directing me to do certain things. And it's like, I don't know, maybe like the old saying goes with the computer, you know, it's in the hard drive and you're pulling it out. But it has been a wonderful experience for me personally in terms of like, okay, I'm unsure of this and I'm having this sort of just sitting quiet and meditate and being able to kind of connect and saying, okay, this is the right way to do things and so forth. So I've been very appreciative of that. Are there a story that you like in that chapter as well?
There was a story that really appealed to me. Unfortunately, when I got cancer, I didn't have my mother there to help me through it. Tiffany Menino, she got breast cancer when she was 36, and her mother helped her through every step of her treatment and was always there for her, even though she was driving from 300 miles away. So she kept driving 300 miles, helping out, driving 300 miles home, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for months. And Tiffany says she was attending to my every need, both physically and emotional, but who was attending to her needs? And she says, you know, I know that what my mom would say is that's just what you do when you were a mother. And we all know that's true. You'll do anything to help your kids. You'll drive 300 miles to help them out for half a day and then drive home if you have to, because mm-hmm. you're always there for them. And that's why that's in that chapter called Always There for Us.
So true. That's very, very true. You're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on Apple's iTunes, Stitches Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, and Google Play. My guest is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. We're having a conversation about heartfelt stories of how moms are always available when we need them, and we never stop needing them. From the Mother's Day special edition, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Magic of Moms, 101 Stories of Gratitude, Wisdom, and Miracles. I'm your host, Johnny Tan. Amy, let's talk about Chapter 5. This should be good. You're a new grandma. So the chapter title is Grandmoms, and the story is She Altered My Attitude by Chris Flaugh.
So one of the great things about grandmothers is that they've seen it all, right? Mm-hmm. And so they bring that experience. And they probably have a better, a better ability to see the silver linings, and also through living mm-hmm. through so many ups and downs, also the wisdom to be able to pass on to their grandchildren that mm-hmm. certainty that things go up and down. But, you know, when you're down, you're going to go back up again. And so
right.
they can help their grandchildren understand that there's always hope. And in Chris's case, she wasn't really seeing her life in as positive a way as she should have. Mm-hmm. But then she invited her grandmother to come to her house for dinner one night. But Christy's partner was not, like, she hadn't finished cooking dinner yet. She was running very late. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. instead of, you know, being upset that they weren't going to eat for like another hour, Christy's grandmother said, "Show me your office." So Christy drove her over to her office, and Chris said that grandmother saw everything with these new fresh eyes. And so just driving down the driveway to the office building, her grandmother admired the road, which was a tree-lined road. And then she admired the fact that Chris had her own parking spot because Chris was an executive there. And then she was impressed with her office and, you know, how she had a desk and a conference table and all this nice mahogany furniture. At one point, her grandma got it a little wrong. She thought that Chris sat at the conference table in this office and that there was a man sitting at the desk. And Chris had to explain, no, I'm the person who sits at the desk, and this is my conference table for when my people come to me to have meetings. Mm-hmm. But anyway, her grandmother looked at Chris's life through such fresh, positive eyes that it really transformed Chris's view of her job and also her partner running an hour late making the dinner that they were supposed to have.
That's a beautiful story. Again, it's one of those things that sometimes how we look through, what lens are we looking through? And that's just a beautiful way of presenting this story right here because you need a different perspective. So it's just beautiful. Chapter 6, Honorary Moms. These are really, really cool. So I like this one, Just When I Needed It by Jennifer Zink.
So I think that most of us who are moms or fathers also, we have this need or ability or just natural tendency to try to help everybody. So we get very maternal or paternal wherever we are. I mean, I know that I've been in, say, a store and I've seen a lost kid and I've been like, oh, let me help you. And I'm treating the kid like it's my own grandchild or my own child. And we just are always trying to parent other people. And it's just what we do. And so Jennifer Zink was at the store and she didn't have enough money to buy everything that she needed. She actually was in the middle of a divorce and she was about to take her kids on a very long car trip from Georgia to New Hampshire to go back to where she was from originally. And the kids wanted a few little toys to have in the car for this incredibly long car ride. But when they got to the checkout, Jennifer could see she didn't have enough money for the toys and the activity books that the kids wanted. And so she started to tear up. And the kids very reluctantly removed those items from the conveyor belt. But this woman who was right behind Jennifer said, you know, I've been in your shoes before. Let me buy those things for your children. And so this very nice mother who was behind her with her own two children gave Jennifer $40 to buy all these things for her kids. And it was just such a game changer for her and transformed their whole journey from Georgia to New Hampshire. And Jennifer always wanted to pay it forward. And finally, years later, when she was shopping at Walmart one day, she found herself in line behind a mom who ran out of money at the cash register also. And Jennifer paid for that mom's order. And her kids were with her and they left Walmart that day with a spring in their step because they had finally repaid this good deed that had been done for them years earlier.
Isn't that a beautiful story for Mother's Day?
It really is. We get a lot of stories like that about people paying for someone else's order at Walmart or Target or one of those other stores. And it's always great. And it's, you know, it's when you read a story like this, it almost gives you permission to do the same thing. You know,
right.
If you were behind somebody one day and you were thinking, oh, maybe I should pay. I can see that person has just had to take five things off the conveyor belt. But then you think, oh, maybe that will be disgracing them or, you know, they'll burn my offer. And then when you read stories like this, it makes you think, okay, I should follow that impulse that I had. I should just reach out and do it. Because what's the worst thing that happens? They say no, but if you never offer it, that's in effect a no anyway. So you might as well offer it. And if they say yes, then you have followed that charitable impulse that you had. And, you know, it's always the person who does the giving who feels the best, right?
Right.
It's the
right.
benefactor, not the beneficiary, who benefits the most. So I think when we publish stories like that and people read them, that maybe it empowers them to go out and do that same nice thing for somebody that they read about in the story.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Do you have a story that you like in that chapter, Honorary Moms?
There's a story that had a tremendous impact on me in this chapter. Mm-hmm. It's by Elizabeth Morsund, and you can really apply this to anything. In her case, it was that she was a new mom, first baby, and she was going for her post-birth checkup. So she mm-hmm. took the baby with her, and she nursed the baby in the car, and she timed everything right in terms of the nap. But then when she got there, the doctor was running late, so all her perfect timing flew out the window. And then her son woke up and started crying, and no matter what she did, she couldn't calm him. And so he's, you know, she's there for an hour, you know, mm-hmm. because the doctor's running so late, and she's near tears, and she's so flustered, and she can't get her baby to stop wailing. And she was so embarrassed, and she apologized to one woman who had caught her eye, and she said, "I am so sorry, I'm not sure what is wrong." And the mother, this other woman, looked at her and said, "Oh, sweetie, please don't worry about it. We all have been there. It's just your turn." And that phrase, "it's just your turn," you can apply that to so many things in your life. And what it means is that no matter what you're going through, first of all, you're not the only person. So you shouldn't feel alone and feel woebegone because this is happening to you. It's just your turn for this to happen to you. I used that story myself mm-hmm. when my mother died. And I thought, just my turn. Millions mm-hmm. of other people are going through this very year. Just my turn. When I was diagnosed with cancer, it's just my turn. No matter what has happened, it's just my turn. And it really helps to put things in perspective. So I've always thought that was a very powerful story.
Wow, that's amazing. That's truly wonderful. Chapter 7, Mom Can Make Anything. And this is a really cool story that I chose because I thought, you know, we need to have fun. The title of the story is Teen Can Christmas by Kim Charles.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this might be the kind of Christmas a lot of people are looking at this year mm-hmm. with so much unemployment. So in this case, Kim's mother put together a craft station for her kids one year when they weren't going to have money for Christmas gifts. And they had just moved, and most of their Christmas tree ornaments had been broken. And so she actually took tin cans and she took the lids and she cut them into different shapes like stars and Christmas trees and bells and angels. And then she put together this craft station with paint and sequins and glitter and glue. And she had the kids decorate the tin can lids. And, you know, they put holes in them and then they used those as Christmas ornaments. And so Kim always thought about that, about how you can be very creative as a mother and you can still make incredibly wonderful Christmas memories for your kids, because even though that was the year when they were the most impoverished and the most unable to have what people would think of as a happy Christmas, Kim and her brothers have always had that as the happiest Christmas they ever had in their memory.
It's just a beautiful story. I love it in terms of just, it's not what you have, it's how you make things to work, and that's how you generate happiness. And it's just beautiful. Chapter 8, the final chapter, as you said, Wise Words, beautiful chapter. What's your favorite story in there?
Well, with all of the divisiveness going on in the country mm-hmm. right now, I really think stories about moms who help to fight divisiveness and help to fight ignorance and prejudice, these are very important stories, like Cynthia Gary's story about mm-hmm. her mom, and it reminds us of what African Americans went through with the craziness of, you know, sit in the back of the bus. And Zahra Hussain, she lives down in Texas, and she happens to be a Muslim, and her mom did a lot of work in unifying people and teaching them about each other. And so Zahra talks about the Saturday when her mom forced her to go to church with her to do this unity kind of thing she was doing with young people. And Zahra mm-hmm. was a sixth grader and really just wanted to hang out with her friends. But her mom forced her to go with her. And then Zara discovered that this was really cool, because what her mom did was she put up posters about various religions. And then when all the teenagers and young adults came in, some of them wearing turbans, yarmulkes, women wearing traditional clothing from different countries, her mom said to all of them, okay, go and stand in front of the poster that represents your religion and your culture. And then people introduced themselves and they explained something about their religion or their culture. And so they all taught each other about their individual mm-hmm. beliefs. And then they realized through that there were so many commonalities in their religions and in their cultures. And there were way more commonalities than differences. And that basically everybody, very proud of her mother then, and very proud to be an American in this melting pot of a country that mm-hmm. we have.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I'm so excited about that story. That's really, truly a wonderful story. The story that I like in Weiss Woods, and this resonates with me because I've moved so many times. The one thing we didn't have to pack the one thing we didn't have to unpack, and the story is by Amelia Hollingsworth. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah, this is a great story for right now, because I don't know about you, but while I'm sitting at home, I'm really becoming aware of how much stuff I have. And so my husband and I are really trying to throw things away. So every Monday uh-huh. when the garbage guy comes, I'm like, we have to fill up at least one kitchen-sized garbage bag, if not two, but mm-hmm. stuff to get mm-hmm. rid of. And he's the kind of person who wants to keep everything. And I keep saying to him, but you can still have the memory of it in your head. You don't have to have the object in the basement. Like, what good is the object doing you in the basement anyway? When do you go and look at it, you know? And so Amelia was moving, and they only had a certain size truck they could load up. And they were moving to a smaller house anyway, and so they couldn't bring all their furniture. And she called her mom in the middle of moving and was bemoaning the fact that she had to leave behind so many things and the memories associated with them. And her mother said to her, you don't have to pack your memories. Your memories go with you wherever you go, because they're in your head, which is really obvious, mm-hmm. right? But it's something we all need to hear so that we can get rid of all that stuff, whether we throw it out or whether we put it in the car to take to the thrift shop so that someone else can have it for whom it might actually be more useful. So, that is a great thing. You should walk through your house and say, do I really need this object here to have the memory, or can I give the object to someone else and just keep the memory?
Right, right. So true. I need people to help me with that, because I tend to hold on, hang on to it for a while. And so I remember when I first moved to Dallas, my friend who was a oncologist, and she came over to the house and she said, okay, have you used this in the last 2 years? Nope. Okay, that popped. Wait a minute. And I'm trying to save it, but I completely agree the way you think and the way she thinks. It's you're right. We need to let go and just keep the wonderful memories in our mind. What's coming up for Chicken Soup?
Well, we have a new book that just came out that remarkably is mm-hmm. a huge bestseller, even though basically all the bookstores in the English-speaking world are closed. So this book is called Laughter is the Best Medicine. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. So as a follow-up to that conversation, and obviously everybody can go and listen to your podcast and hear, you know, more than a dozen stories from that book. But Johnny, I want you to know, one of the biggest books we've ever put out, even with all the bookstores closed. Laughter is the best medicine. It seems to be exactly what people need right now.
Yeah.
We also just launched today mm-hmm. a new line of ebooks called Chicken Soup for the Soul Shorts. These are $1.99 ebooks with 20 stories in them from one of our best-selling books.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's really cool about ebooks is you can send them as a gift to somebody. Mm-hmm. So we have 6 of them, one about dogs, one about cats, one about miracles, one about angels, one about counting your blessings, and one about positive thinking. So 6 really great topics. You go on Amazon. These are Kindle singles, by the way. They all got accepted as Kindle singles, which was very thrilling for us. All 6 of them mm-hmm. are Kindle singles. Mm-hmm. You go on, you look for Chicken Soup for the Soul Kindle singles. You click on buy, and then it shows you on the right side, you can buy it for yourself, where it says buy for someone else. You can send the ebook to someone else as a gift for $1.99. It would cost you like $3.50 plus another 50-something cents of postage to send a card, right?
Right.
You'd be spending
right.
more than $4 or $5 to send a card. Mm-hmm. You send a $1.99 ebook, they're getting 20 stories from a best-selling book. It's really cool. I'm very excited about it. And I'm really excited to see how these first six do. And then we may do a bunch more of them if people really like them, because it's just a nice bite-sized dose of Chicken Soup for the Soul.
That's fantastic. That's really, really wonderful. As we close the show, what recipes for living would you like to share with all of us?
Well, I guess I would say there's a lot of recipes for living in this very book.
Yes.
And one of them is that it's always worth making the effort, because it really will be appreciated, you know, and then that ties into the next recipe for living, which is don't be afraid to do that nice thing that is occurring to you to do. Just go ahead and do it. You know, whether it's paying for somebody at Walmart or making those phone calls to seniors or speaking up in the doctor's office waiting room and saying to that young mother, don't worry about it, it's just your turn. Any of those nice impulses you're feeling, just go ahead and do them. It's life-changing when you follow those impulses and you actually do those things. And then another recipe for living would be to not be afraid to express your appreciation to people. So, like, express your appreciation to mom and the honorary mom down the street, you know, the neighbor who helped you, or to your grandmother. But it's basically, it's all about, we all have those impulses to do something nice or to say something nice. Just go ahead and do it. That's really mm-hmm. what you can take from this book.
That's beautiful. That's really, really wonderful. Amy, thank you for the great recipes for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen. To all our listeners, please join me next Tuesday morning, May 5th. My guests will be Gary Hendricks and Carol Klein. And Amy, I think you know Carol Klein.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Yes, she, from our past dog and cat book, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes,
so,
yes. She was a very, very big Chicken Soup for the Soul author, responsible for a lot of best-selling cat and dog books.
That's right. So anyway, Dr. Gay Hendricks is a New York Times best-selling author, and his books include Conscious Loving and The Big Leap. Carol Klein's is a number one New York Times best-selling author and the co-author of Happy for No Reason, Love for No Reason, and five books with Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Dr. Gay, Carol, and I will be having a conversation about their new book collaboration titled Conscious Luck, 8 Secrets to Intentionally Change Your Fortune. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchenTalkRadio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. As always, Amy, it has been a true pleasure. Thank you again. I wish you a very happy Mother's Day and a blessed week.
Thank you so much, and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Fantastic. Take care. Bye-bye.